Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You're saving now.
Yes.
You're saving yesterday. Right. On tomorrow, you'll still be saving.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You're saving. Grace endures for all eternity.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you not only save us, but you keep us.
Hallelujah.
And you preserve us.
That's
Lord
right.
Jesus Christ. For you said that
thank
we have now
Jesus.
Eternal life by the gift of God.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for that precious gift. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you. We thank
Amen.
You for the cross. We thank you, Lord, for you are that friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're unchanging.
Amen.
We thank you that you remain the same.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that what you said yesterday remains true today.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that your word says that you went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil.
Yes.
And Lord, we can expect the same today that you'll come into this service.
Yes.
And that you'll do good to each and every one whose head is bowed. And that you'll deliver, Lord, anyone that's needing deliverance, Lord. And Lord, you'll encourage those that's needing encouragement because you are a good God. You're a good Savior. You're a loving Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that when they brought that adulterous woman to your feet and they would have stoned her by the law of Moses, but Lord, you showed mercy
Hallelujah.
And compassion, and I thank you, Lord, that you wrote your word on the ground.
Oh
Lord, you said, let him that's without sin cast his first stone. Oh Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
No wonder Peter said it.
Amen.
Lord, no wonder he said, to whom shall we go?
Right.
Lord, who could we go to this morning?
Hallelujah.
Who could we draw strength from this morning? Who would show us love? Who would show us mercy?
Right.
Who would show us loving kindness? Who would save us? Who would take us with their filthiness and their dirt? But Lord Jesus, your word says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
And it says that God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh God, we're glad for that this morning, and we say thank you, Jesus, that now the royal King of heaven and all earth would die for such a worm as I. Oh Lord, we bless thee this morning, Lord, and we lift up your precious name.
That's right.
And truly we say, Lord, there is no name like the name of Jesus. Lord, we offer glory, honor, and praise to your name this morning. For your word says, even Lord, of your word, that your word is exalted above all your name. And we thank you, Lord, that your word has been preserved through the ages. We thank you that we have it this morning, and that we know you this morning because of your word. We trust and we obey your word this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, because you are revealed in your word. And we pray, Lord Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ, this morning that you will continue to reveal yourself in a greater way and in a deeper revelation to each and every one this morning, that we would grow closer with thee. Lord, even as the hymn writer said, just a closer walk with thee. Grant that Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, Lord, let it be. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning you'll bless the one that opens thy word and pour out the anointing, Lord, from heaven, Lord. Touch the lips of clay, Lord Jesus Christ, that would minister. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way this morning. Let every, Lord, carnal thought and imagination be cast down now in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Ghost have his own way in our midst.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender our own wills. Lord, even as you surrendered your will at Gethsemane, and you said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, so we say this morning with you, Lord Jesus, not our will, but thy will be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the praise this morning. May it be a sweet-smelling savour that up before you. And Lord, may we worship thee this morning with a perfect heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, because we've come to worship you, let us forget about distractions this morning. And Lord, let us just look to thee. Let us take this opportunity that we've set aside time to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to acknowledge you, and to bless your holy name, and just to be grateful that you have done so much for us, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to appreciate you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless the children, Lord. Bless every man and every woman. And bless those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord. And Lord, remember those in our family that still outside of thy kingdom, Lord, and outside of thy grace,
Amen.
We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed they'll surrender their lives,
Lord.
That you'll bring a convicting power of the Holy Ghost upon them,
Jesus.
That they'll ask you, Lord, to save them. Lord, we know you want to save.
Amen.
Lord, we know you're willing to save. But Lord, man has a rebellious heart. We pray, Lord God, that you'll break down the middle wall of partition, Lord, this morning. Lord, that everyone will be surrendered to you. And Lord, indeed, let you have thine own way, O precious God, we pray. Even as the hymn writer said, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Lord, we just ask you this morning now, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will come and minister to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, giving God all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Sing that little hymn. Be not dismayed, whatever the tide, God will take care of you.
Thank you.
screen G, but we're going to try it in F sharp or flat, whatever it is. We'll try it just a little bit higher. Let's sing verse 2. Though days of toil, when heart will fail, God will take care of you. When danger's fierce, your heart will sail, God will take care of you.
Thank you.
Able to testify, whatever. Just let the
Holy
Ghost
speak
for the best for our
Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Thou shalt be thy provider, yes. And thou
thou shalt not fear. Check the Lord thy God.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Excellent.
Sing a hymn before Brother John Thomas. Praise God. Now he was just a little bit wrong this morning. Can we sing, I Will Praise Him? Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory.
Hallelujah.
All ye people,
pour
His blood to wash away each stain.
Hallelujah.
When I saw the cleansing fountain. Oh,
Verses here. Book of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. And we want to read the first eight verses. Verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. And that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. We'll just ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, we thank you for your word again. We thank you, Lord, we can come together. We thank you for a sense of your presence already in this room. And we ask you, Lord, you'll come again and meet with us, and we'll meet with you. And Lord, indeed, that you'll just bless the speaking of your word this morning. And Lord, you come and confirm your word with signs following the preaching of it. And Lord, that will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it will be in apparent demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we confess we need your power this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask for it, Lord, to come upon each dear soul in this room.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. And I hope you're comfortable. Maybe if you want to open that door. But don't open it unless somebody needs to. No, you're cold. No, don't open it. I want you to feel comfortable in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, if you feel comfortable in the house of the Lord, it's easier for the Lord to meet with you.
Right.
It might sound a bit strange, but I believe that if you're comfortable in the house of the Lord, you can concentrate more.
Amen.
On the things of God. But if you're uncomfortable, the thing that's making you uncomfortable creates a distraction,
right,
and can take you away from what God wants to say to you and sidetrack you. Now, I've written down my whole sermon here this morning on this gadget. And this gadget doesn't preach, but I hope it helps me to preach.
Amen.
And to bring out some of the things that I want to say this morning. And my title is Learning the Power of God.
Amen.
Now, that there's maybe bad grammar, but when I say to you about learning the power of God, I want to speak to you about experiencing God's power.
Amen.
Learning the power of God. When you started to drive a car, if you ever drove a car, you learned the car. Now you learn when you learn to drive the car, you had an experience. Isn't that right? You experienced the car. And when you experienced the car, you experienced the road. And other people and other cars. But you had learned the cure. Is that, do you understand? I'm not here this morning to try to learn the Holy Ghost. And you know, that terminology isn't correct. A person said to me once, John, you don't learn anybody anything. You have to teach them. Now, that is good grammar. You have to teach them. But when the power of God comes on you, the power of God becomes your teacher.
Amen.
The power of God becomes your experience.
Amen.
And when you have the power of God, you have an experience.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You do not have the power of God and not have an experience.
Great.
I want to tell you, when the power of God comes on you, an experience from Almighty God comes upon you.
Amen.
And you know you've got something.
Amen.
Now, Jesus gives commandments, and I want to just concentrate on these 8 verses this morning, or most, not them all, but most of them, and I haven't got a watch on me, a timepiece on me, but don't worry, I'm going to keep it as short as I can. And here, I want you to notice in verse 2, Jesus, this is about the Lord Jesus, and it said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen. Now, the Lord gave a commandment. He gave commandments through the Holy Ghost. He gave commandments by the power of God. Now, I'm going to read you some things here that I've written down. And sorry, I should maybe have read, I'll just give you verse 3 also. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, you know, I thought that was a great title in there, and I'm not going to dwell on that, but I thought that's a great title for a sermon in there. Infallible proofs.
Amen.
Something that is infallible cannot be questioned.
Amen.
Something that is infallible is genuine.
Amen.
You know, something that's infallible is full of truth.
That's right.
There's no discrepancy.
Amen.
Amen.
There's not a kink anywhere. It's genuine. It's 100%. It's infallible.
Amen.
Infallible proof. You know, when Jesus stood before his disciples after he was raised from the dead, he said to Thomas, put your hands into the scars in my hand. Feel my hands, he said. You know, the doors were shut, but he came through the wall.
Amen.
You know, they never rolled the stone back to let Jesus out of the tomb. They rolled the stone back to let the disciples in the tomb. He could have came out through the stone.
That's right. Amen.
You know, when he rose from the dead, what did he do? The first thing he done. Do you know the first thing he done? He took the head napkin off and he folded it up and he set it down. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Praise God. He was in control.
Amen.
He was in order.
That's right. Amen.
He knew what he was doing. He had all of his senses. He knew he had been dead, and now he knows he's alive. The Bible says he died once under sin.
Amen.
But in that he lives unto God.
Amen.
Infallible proofs.
Amen.
I want to say, you know, this machine is lays down when you take your hands off. You know, if God takes his hand off you, lay down.
100%.
But he doesn't want you to lay down.
Amen.
And he doesn't want to take his hand off
you.
He wants to keep his hand
Amen.
On you.
That's
and
right.
He wants to give you his power.
Amen.
And he wants you to know that he has given you his
Amen.
Power.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now I want to speak to you about the power. First of all, I've written it down here. First of all, what is the power of God?
Because a man said to me just yesterday, he said, John, there's a great decline in the churches. He says there's a great decline among the Pentecostals. I'm not here to run the Pentecostals down. I want to tell you, I went to the Pentecostal church for 20 years. And when I went to that Pentecostal church for 20 years, I can tell you that I learned the power of God. The power of God would come in the room. The power of God would come in the meeting. I would go to the prayer meeting. I would try to catch God with my hands. I would sit in that prayer meeting and call upon his name, right, and the Holy Ghost would come in the room. Hallelujah. And I would say to myself, there's that same power again.
Amen.
The power of God coming in the room again.
Amen.
Let me tell you, we need the power of God.
Amen.
We need God's power. We need the anointing. The Bible says, because of the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed.
Right.
You know, the Pentecostals used to sing an old chorus years ago. It said, by the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke.
Amen.
By the Holy Ghost and fire, just as the prophet spoke. This is the day of the latter rain, and God is moving in power again.
Amen.
By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke.
Amen.
You know, them songs were gone.
That's right.
You, what they've got now, they've got some sort of a pop group.
That's it.
And they've taken away the real genuine article.
Right.
You know, a man said to me also, Bobby and me's working at the Elam Church. Why, there was a woman came down, and she, oh, I don't want to get emotional. She says, John, I remember you in the Elam Church. She says, I remember the spirit of prophecy coming on you, and you walked up and down the aisle prophesying. She says, will you come back here? Will you pray for this people? Will you pray for this building that the power of God will come in it again? That's what she said. All right, what is the power of God? It's written down here. The power of God is what it said. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's not the power of man.
Amen.
Not man's power, it's the power of God.
Amen.
When you're working with the power of God,
amen,
you're working with the Almighty.
Glory.
You're working with God's power.
Amen.
You're not working with man's power, you're working with God's power. You're working with the real thing.
Glory.
And it's not Coca-Cola.
Amen. Glory.
It's the power of God you're working with.
Amen. That's right.
The power of God is the power of God.
Glory. Follow him.
It's not the power of man. It's not man's power. You see, let me say this too. I've written this all down. The Holy Ghost is the source.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
The Holy Ghost is the source. No Holy Ghost, no power of God.
Absolutely.
No power of God, no Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power, is the source. Now, Jesus gave commandments. And what was one of the commandments he gave? He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye receive the promise of the Father. That was one of that was a commandment by the Lord before the day of Pentecost, before the power of God come on the church. Now, I said, no Holy Ghost, no power of God. No power of God, no Holy Ghost. Therefore, we can and must receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And listen, and when we receive the Holy Ghost, we become conductors of the power of God.
Amen.
The power of God can flow through you.
Glory.
By faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you see these lights here. There's a wire going to them lights. Is it not right? It's electric wire. Them wires doesn't produce the power.
Right.
You can disconnect them wires. You can isolate the power circuit. You can take out the fuse. You can disconnect the wire. And you can take that wire and take it out into the middle of the field and connect it to that light, and the light will not work.
Right.
Why? There's no power going through.
Right.
You know, if there's no power going through, the church will not work.
That's right.
It will not work.
That's it.
But when the power starts to go through it, it'll start to work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Whenever the power goes through it, what happens to it? It lights up.
Amen. That's right.
When the power of God goes through you, it's going to light your light.
That's right.
It's going to light you up, brother.
Glory.
It's going to light you up, sister.
Right.
And you know, when you walk into the darkness will not comprehend the light that's in you. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen. That's right.
God wants you to become a conductor of his power. And I don't mean to be flippant when I say that, but I'm saying it as reverent as I can. God wants you to be a conductor of his power. He doesn't want you to be a conductor of anything else, only the power of God.
Amen.
The power, his power, the power of God. And Jesus gave commandments. This was one of the commandments he gave to them early disciples, them early apostles. And he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high.
Amen.
Amen.
Until you get the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Until you get the power of God. Now, that was a commandment of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, Jesus tells his disciples they need to have something more than just a head knowledge.
That's right.
He did, he told them that.
Amen.
Where did he tell them that? He told them that in the scriptures
Absolutely.
That we have read.
Absolutely.
He said, you need to have something more.
Amen.
Than just a head knowledge.
Amen.
Now, a head knowledge is very useful. But it doesn't cut. What's the word I'm looking for? It'll not cut the ice or it'll not break the ice.
Right.
It'll not fit you for purpose.
That's right.
A head knowledge will not fit you for purpose. I want to say that these disciples had plenty of head knowledge. And they had saw and heard plenty of stuff. But Jesus said, you need to wait for the promise.
Amen.
And he didn't only say it, this was a commandment given by the Holy Ghost through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said you need something more than a head knowledge. You know, a man, and he's not with us no more, but a man spoke to me one time and he said to me, John, you'll have to come over to England and learn the message because you can't preach. And you'll have to learn the message to be able to preach.
Ooh.
The man told me that. Well, I said I could never go over there because I milk cows every morning, milk and cows every night.
Amen.
That was a good excuse.
Amen. Amen.
But Jesus never said you'll have to learn.
Not a chance.
He didn't say you'll have to learn the Apostles' Creed.
No.
He didn't say you'll have to learn Shakespeare.
That's right.
He didn't say you'll have to learn how to set out a sermon.
That's right.
And your sermon will have to be a 3-4 plough.
That's right.
You'll have to have 3 points in every sermon. And maybe sometimes you'll have 4 or 5 reversible plough. The reversible means at the end you can say the opposite from what you said at the start.
That's right.
And nobody will catch on.
That's it.
And everybody will come out and say, he had a great sermon because he started off with the point and it started with the letter S, or the word S, and the second one began with S and the third one began with S. And you know, if it starts with T or P or any whatever, they all have to rhyme.
Oh, that's right.
Boy, it'll tickle your ears.
That's
something
right.
To tickle the ears. Boy. You know, evangelist Reinhard Bonnke went to the Bible College, and he went all through the Bible College, and he was well educated in the things of God, they said, and what they said, this is the way we do it, this is the way you have to do it. But he said when he went out on the mission field, he had to forget a lot of the stuff, 90% of the stuff that he was taught.
Glory.
And you know, I don't want you to say, oh, you have to be ignorant, you have to be unlearned, you know. It's really silly when I'm standing here saying the words wrong and saying I don't know the difference in a verb or a noun. I don't know the difference.
Not modern, bro. No, Jesus.
And but this man, Bonnke, was in the meeting and there was a man to come to pray for the sick and he never came. He let him down, you know. Jesus will not let you down.
Glory. Amen.
I want to say the power of God will not let
Glory.
You down.
Amen.
The power of the Holy Ghost will not let That's you right. down.
That's right.
If that power is on you, if that power is in you and through you, it can't let you down. But that man, Bonnke, was in the service and he was in Africa. And when he went, they wanted to put him into a small space. They wanted to put him into a shoebox to have a meeting.
That's great.
You know, I'm taking too long here this morning, but you know where I was thinking of having this meeting this morning? Down there with the motorbike man, trying out the seats and having it in the park. You know, the Holy Ghost was really come on us. What would happen?
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord was really fell on us. The Holy Ghost, the power of God coming in the car park.
That's great. That's great.
Imagine.
Amen.
Imagine men weeping.
Amen.
Imagine men and women crying out to God for mercy.
Amen.
But Bonnke was in the meeting anyway and he was preaching and there was about 100 people there. And I think I'm right when I say this, there was about 100 people there, and he says if there's anyone in this meeting who is totally blind, who has never saw or seen with their eyes, would you stand to your feet? For he says, if you do, you're about to see a white man.
Brilliant. Amen.
What is that? What sum do you do to get this calculation? What algebra do you need? Now, there's no harm in algebra. There's no harm in any of them calculations. There's no harm in any of them studies. But four blind men stood to their feet. And the next thing you could hear was, I can see,
Glory.
I can see,
Glory.
I can see.
Amen.
What is that? Right. That's the power of God.
Amen. That's right.
That's God. That's not man.
Amen.
That's the wire that's connected.
Amen.
That's the light that shines in the darkness.
Amen.
That's the power of God coming on a vessel.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of God flowing through a vessel. That's a demonstration of God's power.
Amen.
That's not a demonstration of man's power. That's not a cookery demonstration.
That's it.
It's not a lecture.
Amen.
That's not a stuffed white shirt coming out of a Bible college. That's a man of God with the power of God.
Glory. Amen.
A man of God with the power of God will produce the things of God. A man with the power of man will produce the things of man.
That's right.
Vain is the help of man.
Amen.
The Bible says.
That's the truth.
What? So yes, the time.
That's right.
Jesus said to receive the Holy Ghost is an experience.
Amen.
Said that. Now, in verse 4 and verses 5, he tells us what the experiences are. And he also makes illustration to that experience. He gives illustration to that experience. And verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith he. What saith he? You've heard of me. Now, Jesus said, you've heard me talking about the Holy Ghost. Jesus said that. And let me tell you this. Jesus didn't only talk about the Holy Ghost. He talked about a baptism.
Amen.
He talked about a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, where did Jesus talk about the Holy Ghost? Maybe Matthew can bring me up to John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. And Matthew, if you can get that there quickly, you'll help us somewhere. And Jesus said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That still stands.
Glory. That's great.
That never went out of date.
That's great. Amen.
Somebody in the supermarket's putting dates, sell by date.
That's it. Get in there.
There's no date on that.
That's great. Glory.
That's eternal.
No one putting in or taking out.
That comes from the self-existing one.
That's great. Glory.
That is eligibility of that is the same today as what it was when Jesus spoke it.
Oh,
if any man thirsts, let him
glory.
Come unto me and drink. I tell you, if you're thirsting for the power of God, it's there for you.
Amen.
And he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, Jesus referred to the scripture.
Amen.
Jesus couldn't tell you in the Bible what he was saying. He's never made a statement that he couldn't back with scripture. Not a one. He never said, I think I was working this out in my head. No, the scripture.
Glory.
He referred them to the scripture and he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I want you to notice the word rivers.
Yes. Glory.
Rivers, not one. Rivers.
Glory.
Every day a river.
That's right.
Every hour a river.
Hallelujah.
Every week a river.
Hallelujah.
Rivers of living glory. Water. The living water is the Holy
glory.
Ghost.
That's great. That's it. Praise it.
He gives me living water and I thirst no more.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my
hallelujah.
Strength.
Hallelujah. Right.
And he said these. Verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit. This spake he of the power of God, which they that believe on him
amen.
Shall or should receive.
Hallelujah.
For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I want to tell you, he's glorified today.
Hallelujah.
When he rose from the dead,
glory.
He was glorified.
Hallelujah.
And he said to these disciples, you guys need to stay here till you get the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love the Gospel of John.
Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 16, Matthew, and verse 7.
Hallelujah.
I think, yes, verses 7 to 14.
Hallelujah.
If you give us the whole story. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
Amen.
Jesus never spoke anything, only the truth.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus never spoke a lie in his life.
Amen.
Never.
That's right.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And then he goes on to say, and I've yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Give us another couple of verses there. I have be it when he,
amen.
The Spirit of truth,
glory.
Has come.
That's right. Spirit of truth.
He will guide you,
glory.
Into some of the truth. A wee bit of truth? No. All truth.
Glory.
Amen.
That's right.
You see, when he guides you into all truth, you have discernment.
That's right.
You have got a gift right then. You have a discernment because
amen.
Something that's not true, you'll know it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I'm not going to open up my wallet this morning and I'm not going to bring out a £9 note. I'm going to bring out a £9 note and I'm going to say, has any of you spies an £18 Two nines is 18, and any of you boys stand an 18 pound note, because if you have, I want it, and I want to give you two nines for it.
That's right.
I count and you count.
That's right.
They're counterfeit. But the devil's not going to try to make a counterfeit nine or a counterfeit 18. He wants to make a counterfeit 10 and a counterfeit 20. But let me tell you something. He would never make any of them if there wasn't a real one.
That's right.
Glory.
What would be the point?
That's right.
No point.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus didn't say you'd get a counterfeit.
No, hell.
He never said you'd get a counterfeit. He said if your son asks for a piece of bread, would you hand him a stone?
No, that's right.
Amen. If he's looking to face supper, what would you get? Would you hand him a scorpion?
That's right.
Go into the cafe and say, any scorpions left? Look at you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I want us to go back to Acts chapter 1.
Amen.
Now, Jesus gave commandments about this, and Jesus also, he gave details about it, and he said it was an experience.
Amen.
Amen.
What makes me say that Jesus said it was an experience? Verse 5 of Acts, the Apostles chapter 1 and verse 5. Jesus tells us that to get the Holy Ghost, is to get an experience.
Amen.
How do I make that out? Well, I'll tell you how I make it out. Jesus refers to John the Baptist baptizing with water. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's what Jesus is saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know you know this, but I'm only reminding you of what you know.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you anything you don't know. I can only remind you of what you already know. Now, I'm reminding you.
All right.
John baptized in Jordan, and you can read that. And you'll read it probably in John's Gospel also, but he's baptized in Jordan, and one of the reasons where he baptized, the place that he baptized, the Bible says there was much water there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There was much water there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this is a question. Jesus said he referred to John. He makes reference to John. Now, John made reference to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And John said, I baptize you with water, but one comes after me who's mightier than I am. He'll not baptize you with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
That's what he said. That's what John, that was John's reference to Jesus. But then Jesus makes reference to John. And he said, as John baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that's before the Holy Ghost was given. And that's why he said not many days hence. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you go into the water? Now, whenever John baptized, we're told he baptized in Jordan because there was much water there. And the baptism of John under repentance was total submersion. Now, you're saying, why, when I'm getting baptized, well, John, I tell you what, I want to stick my big toe up. I don't want it to get any water on it. Hey, John, when you're baptizing me, I want to hold my two horns up. I don't want to get them wet. John, I'll go out. Won't you put me into the neck? You know, I went to the house meeting one time to pray for boys to get the Holy Ghost. And there was a line of boys lined up, and there was a boy there. And the Lord bless him, but he had the brill cream on. Boy, he was a good-looking fella. And he had the brill cream on, he had the hair got done, and he says, John, mind my hair. John, it's only done. John, I'm a good looking fella, haven't I? I said to myself, do you want a good barber and a haircutter? Do you want the Holy Ghost?
That's it.
see you coming down to John the Baptist. John would have said, "How do I get the brill cream off? You're going to waste it. You're going to have to go right underneath the water." Right into the water. You see, tell me this. Did you ever meet anybody who went into the water and was completely submerged? And when they would come out, they didn't know they were there. Is that possible?
No.
It's not. Now, you weren't made of fish. Not to what the scientists tell you. You never were a fish.
Amen.
You always were a human being.
Amen.
So was your father, Adam.
Amen.
He was a human being and he walked on two legs.
Amen.
From the day he was made.
That's right.
He never walked on all four like a monkey. Nor squealed or swung from the branches or ate.
That's right.
But on. Like that.
Yeah, how did tell that?
Walked like a man and he was as thinner than me. He was as thin as a day.
That's right. That's
right. You can't go in the water and go right underneath it and come out and not know you were there.
That's the truth.
What is that? That's an experience.
Amen. That's right.
That's an experience for you to go in the water and go completely underneath it. Well, you see, that word baptism means head away. All
right.
Your old man was buried. Now you have risen a new man. The old man's dead.
Brilliant.
He's dead. He's gone. I buried him in the waters of baptism. He was buried.
That's right.
And he rose again, signifying the resurrection unto eternal life.
Amen.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But let me say this. The Lord said that you would be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Do you know what I've written down here? When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes all over you.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit comes all over you.
Amen.
You learn the power of God.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost comes all over you, you learn the power of God. The Holy Ghost everywhere. The Holy Ghost all over you. Now, I could bring you up here and I could say, I'm going to use this here glass of water and I'm going to dip my fingers in the water and I'm going to sprinkle you.
That's right. Will it do it?
Well, you know. How does that cover you?
Not a chance.
How would that hide you away?
Not that amazing.
Well, do you know what's wrong today? People are getting sprinkled, as it were. I don't mean to be irreverent, but they're getting a sprinkle of the Spirit of God. God doesn't want you to have a sprinkle. God wants you to have a total immersion. God wants the power of God to come on you. Listen, I heard a man giving his testimony one time, and he said the Holy Ghost come on him, and it kept coming on him, and it kept coming over him, and he said it was like waves and waves of liquid love. And he said, "Lord, if you don't stop, I'll die." Have you ever got the Holy Ghost like that? Well, that's the way God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have the power of God. God wants you to learn the power of God. He wants you to experience the Holy Ghost coming on you. Now, this is another sermon, and I don't want to get sidetracked, and I'm taking up too much of your time, but don't let anybody tell you there's a distinction between the baptism and the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus talked about the baptism and he talked about the Holy Ghost and he said he baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost is the baptism. The baptism is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there's not two Holy Ghosts.
Amen.
That's right.
There's only one Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now I have to move on. I want you to know it's an experience to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, I met a man once, and he was a lovely brother, and I met him when I met Brother Leon Long. And he said to Brother Leon, he had been in the church for years, and he says, "I have to be honest," he says, "I don't know if I ever had the Holy Ghost or not." That's what he said. Now, he was being honest. Sit in the church for years. You need to be hungry.
Amen.
You need to be thirsty.
Amen.
You need to ask God for it. And keep on asking. And keep on believing. Now, I want to come to a conclusion. And I've written this down here. What was the last thing Jesus told his disciples? What was the last thing he said to them? Well, in verse 8, you can read it. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is the last commandment that Jesus gave his disciples before he was taken into heaven.
Amen.
This is the last thing he said to them. Now you could divide this up. There's power there. You shall receive power. Before the Holy Ghost. No. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No Holy Ghost coming on you. No power. You can have talk whatever you want to do. Tell you all the quotes. You can quote all day. You can quote till the cows come home. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you have no power.
That's right. Amen.
The power comes from the Holy Ghost. He's the source.
Absolutely.
The Holy Ghost is the source.
Absolutely.
And the Bible says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, who said that? Jesus said it. Who said that receiving the Holy Ghost or the baptism was an experience? Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm not the first man to say this. Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
John the Baptist was. David, King David was.
Amen.
Them old prophets was. What about Isaiah? Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to recover in the sight to the blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus goes in the temple and he opens the book and he finds the place where Isaiah had done it. And anybody who say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your eyes.
Yeah. That's right.
Holy Spirit, the power of God. Now, you might say, well, John, the last thing he said would be, you'd be a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth. In other words, all over the world. All over the world. Now, Jesus, let me say this here. The last thing that Jesus told his disciples, you could break it into two sections. You could say, you're going to have power. You're going to have power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And it's going to be power for purpose. Now, power without purpose is power wasted. Isn't that right? You need power for purpose, or purpose for power. And the purpose of this power would be that you would witness unto Christ.
Amen.
Now, you know, we skipped over it, and I skipped over it when we read John's Gospel chapter 7, I think it was, or it was chapter 16, where he said, when he has come, he's talking about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said that he would glorify me.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He'll uplift Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He'll present Jesus Christ.
Right.
He'll not present anybody else. Amen. He might witness or testimony what Paul or some of these men said, but he will present Jesus Christ. 99% of his work, or 100% of his work, is to present Jesus Christ and him crucified, is to glorify Jesus Christ, not glorify any other man. The Lord said, I will not give my glory unto another.
Amen.
Nobody else to get the glory. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things he has done.
Hallelujah.
So loved he the world that he giveth his son.
Right.
Who yielded his life in atonement for sins, but opened the life gate that all may go in.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said, when he has come, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you, and he'll show you things to come.
That's right. Amen.
Show you things to come.
Amen.
Now, I've written down here, the Lord said in verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
And I've written down in my notes, Take notice here. Take notice here. Take notice of what? The word power. I've written down the word power can never be replaced by any other word. Are you hearing me? That word power can never be replaced by anything else. Now, Jesus gave commandments and he spoke about the kingdom of heaven. But this was one of the last things he said to his disciples before he went to heaven. Let me tell you something. If you replace that word power with something else, you will have something else, but not the power. Jesus didn't say you needed, he could have named a list of stuff. I'm sure there's plenty of things he could have listed or named. If you ask people today what they needed most in the church, wonder what they'd say. Well, this is what Jesus said.
Amen.
You know what this is? This is the qualifications of a minister.
Right. That's right.
This is the, that's the qualifications there.
That's right.
You don't. And if you want to learn this, you have to have an experience. You can't open a book and learn it. The only book you can open is the Bible.
Amen.
Yes,
the Bible.
Absolutely.
Now, if you want to learn to ride a motorbike, don't ask you, or don't ask Brother Jeff. Am I right? I'm not right. I'm wrong. This man in here can ride a motorbike, but I know Jill has a motorbike and I know Brother Jeff has one. If I wanted to learn to ride a motorbike, I would go and ask them boys. Why would I ask them? Because I've got the experience. If I wanted to really learn some trades that people have in here, you know, Jeff does the plumbing. Would you go and ask the farmer about the plumbing? You wouldn't ask him. You need to ask somebody that has experience.
Right.
How did Jeff learn the plumbing? He learned it by experience. And you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not a good illustration. Brother Andrews made this pulpit. I referred to this before. I tell you, Andrews, you're a tradesman, brother. You are a tradesman. That's done to perfection. I maybe wouldn't know, but what I do know, I can see no flaws. If you wanted to learn how to build an engine, go and ask Samuel. If you wanted to learn the mechanicing, if you wanted to learn something, some of the brothers in here that says, Matthew's a baker, is that right? Now, you want to learn how to plate out the apple tart with your feet? No, I'm wrong. You don't use your feet, you use your hand. Ask somebody that has the experience and they'll tell you.
That's
right. You ask them, they'll tell you. I'm taking too much time. I need to move on quickly. I'm almost done. I'm sorry, I have no watch for me, you see. We have a little time, haven't we, Gil? We're going all right. We'll soon have come down here till the close. Praise the Lord. Sure says, lay down on my gaining. She's not going to start. The body's maybe knows she's away now. Listen, never change that word power for any other word. Never replace it.
Yeah.
Never replace it. And it was important to the Lord or he wouldn't have said it. Yeah. If it hadn't been important, the Lord never would have said it. Yeah. Never, don't ever try to put anything else in its place. And I've written down here, and let me say this by the grace of God to you. There's no substitute for the power of God.
Right.
There is nothing on this earth that can replace it.
No, that's right.
Now you can have all, I know it's nice to have programs and all these things, and all these things are useful and needful, But we need the power of God. And that, I want to tell you a story briefly, and I've told you this story before, and I'm not making any apologies, but a dear sister in the Lord asked me to come out to Lower House one night, and there was a big evangelist there, and he was going to pray for this man. He was going to get him delivered from demons. And he said the man was demon-possessed, and he was going to come. And he had been fasting and praying. Why, he blew the trumpet. I've been fasting and praying, and the Lord sent me here tonight. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Let me tell you something, you're going to do nothing outside the power of God. You can do a whole lot, but it'll not be worth talking about.
Amen.
If you want to have something for the kingdom of heaven, you need the power of God.
Amen.
And you need to know you have the power of God. You need to have the power of God on you. But anyway, the boys all went out to the house, and there was a meeting in the Elam church, and there's a young man, he was going to go to a Bible school, and he was going to go there, and he was going to come back and evangelize the world and turn the world upside down. And you know, it didn't all happen. But he went, Lord bless him, he went to the Bible college, and he was a very young man, and he was a good preacher. But he came back, you know, with an American accent on. You see, God says, this man's doing it himself, I let him work away. You see, you watch what happens to you. Watch how you tread. Well, anyway, the woman, the woman went out to the house, and they started wrestling much with this man, and they got him down the floor, and they sat on him. And that meeting went on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there wasn't any change. It was like a wee fella swallowed the half crown, and asked how it was. The model said, there's no change. You see, the woman came to me, she met me, and she was a genuine woman. I'll tell you, she was a genuine woman. She was a helpful woman. And she says, John, you should have been there. And I said, no, I went home, went to my bed. I had to race the next morning and milk the cows. I was a farmer, and I was watching what I was doing. I needed to, I know it's a vain thing to sit up late and rise up early. I know that. Get to your bed. And I got up the next morning, and it was the usual milk the cows, but I met the woman. The woman says to me, John, you should have been there. And I said, no, I didn't need to be there. And I listed a list of names of men that was there, and this evangelist was there to cast this demon out. Oh, she said, you should have been there for the experience. And I believe it was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't me, for I wouldn't have the brains to say it. But I said, I've got an experience. My experience is the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you, if you've got the experience of the power of God coming on you, you'll not need any other experience.
Amen.
It'll take care of everything.
That's right.
The power of God will take care of any circumstance that arises in your life, or any circumstance that comes before you. The power of God can deal with it.
Amen. Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. You know, when God's doing it, God's doing it.
Amen.
Whenever man's doing it, man's doing it. But when God's doing it, God's doing it.
Right.
Now, he said, power for purpose to be a witness. Jesus said unto them, ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin. I've written that down. And you know, I've written down also, infallible proofs come when the Holy Ghost comes on God's people.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost comes on God's people, God will give you infallible proofs. Isn't that good? And I've written down also that the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit come by the power of God.
Amen.
They come by the Spirit of God. You know, whenever Brother Andrew Beecham was over with us one time, he said a remarkable thing. He said, everybody wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but nobody wants the gift of tongues. That's right. I want to tell you something. Now, if you don't know this, the gift of tongues is attacked more than any other gift. Attacked. Let me tell you this. The devil never wants you to speak with tongues. Because if you speak with tongues, that's a supernatural event. That's a supernatural experience that comes from the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you this also. I'm led to believe, and I've never really checked it out, I'm led to believe there's 9 flights on the wing of a dove. And there's 9 fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
And there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. And you get some people today and they say, we want the fruits of the Spirit, but we don't want the gifts. The gifts is done away with. Oh, I want the gifts, but I don't want the tongues. Well, if you don't want the tongues, you're not doing away with 1 gift, you're doing away with 2. Well, how do you make that out? Well, if you don't have tongues, you don't need interpretation of tongues. And interpretations of tongues is a supernatural gift, just like the gift of tongues.
Amen.
And tongues and interpretation serves the same as prophecy.
Amen.
You know, I say I learned the power of God. You see, I'm stopping here now. I learned the power of God. When I learned the power of God, I saw the hand of the Lord moving. I saw the spirit of prophecy. I experienced the spirit of prophecy coming in the meeting and prophesying over a woman. Tommy mentioned it all the night, and she was, the demon was troubling her. And when she would pray for the Holy Ghost, her hand would go behind her back and go right up her back, and her face would twist. And you know, they brought her to the Elam Pentecostal Church in Bond Bridge where there was a prayer meeting, and I'll tell you now, it was a prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting, I tell you now, the power of God was coming in that room. And you see, if you have a gathering where the power of God's coming in the room and people are being delivered and people are being set free, you'll not have to talk much about it. People will find out.
That's right. Amen.
And when they find out, they'll start coming. And people started coming to that meeting to get deliverance. And they brought that girl to the meeting, and when they brought her to the meeting to bless the people's heart, there was a half a dozen men stood over her and started to pray for her and said, peace be still. Now, whenever you're confronted with an evil spirit, you don't say anything about peace be still. You say, come out.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord
Amen.
Jesus Christ, I command you to leave.
Amen.
I command you to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. But that girl came, and bless her heart, she got no deliverance. She got no deliverance. Now, this wasn't anything to do with me. But she was away from the church, and she was away 6-7 months, maybe more. A long time. And I believe the Lord brought it back to my heart. And I says, Lord, isn't it a terrible thing that girl came here seeking for deliverance and got no deliverance? Got no deliverance. Came to the church. You know, there's plenty of churches like that. You can walk into them and you walk out the same way you went in.
Right.
You don't get deliverance. What you will get, you get your pocket emptied. Get it like that. I mean not. But I started praying, and I believe it was the Lord urged me to pray. And I prayed, Lord, would you send that girl back? Would you send her back? And she came back one night, and I don't remember who was meant to be preaching, or I don't know whether it was meant to be me or not, but I know I was leading the meeting. I can remember that part. It was at the front. I might have been meant to preach. But the Spirit of the Lord came in the room. The Spirit of prophecy came in the room. And I never prayed for her. I just told her that she was set free.
Amen.
By the power of God.
Right.
There was no praying. Never prayed for her then.
All right.
The Spirit of prophecy just said, you're set free.
Amen.
And she was set free.
Amen.
She was delivered. That same spirit of prophecy come in the meeting one time, and there's a woman sitting away at the back, and she's been praying for the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit said, You received the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And she went home and she opened the Bible right up this, right up the scripture where the Lord said that. And the Holy Ghost came on her.
Amen.
And if you met her today, she could tell you the day, the date, the time when it happened. You know, I was asked to lead a meeting once in the Elam Church, and I got up there to lead the meeting, and I said, I'll get two hymns sung, and I'll get sat down. But the Holy Ghost come on the room. High away. Whenever he comes in the room, something takes place.
Amen. Amen.
And there was a row of chairs right along the front, and I don't ask me all the events, but I called a prayer line. And there's a man there to pray. He's in the glory now. He was there to preach. He never got no preaching done. And he's in the glory now. And I called a prayer line. And the front of the church was filled. The front row was left empty. And it was filled with people. And this man come down. He sat over here on the right. And there was free peas. There was frozen peas in that meeting. And they were at the front and they were asking God to answer prayer. And they were asking me to pray for them. And there was two Pentecostal men there. And one of them was called, he's meant to be with the Lord. They called him Bouncing Guy.
Amen.
And there was another brother. And I called these two men to come and assist me to pray. And them two men come up to assist me to pray. And I says, "Boys, if you start at that side, I'll start at this side, and we'll meet in the middle." Well, I sent them over to that side, and I didn't know the man was demon-possessed. And the man the man was demon-possessed, and they couldn't go near him. I mean that. They couldn't go near him. They couldn't go near him. Every time they went to him, that devil was probably manifesting. They went away to the man on the organ and they said to him, "You better play something about the blood. This man's demon possessed." And they stood looking at him. "You boy on the organ, let me tell you something. Bring me a minstrel," Elisa said. "Bring me a minstrel."
Right.
And as he played, the Spirit of the Lord come in the room.
All right.
But I tell you, that devil was well disturbed then when they started playing about the blood. They overcame them by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not here to blow my own trumpet this morning, but people was wondering what was going to happen. And, you know, I had to pray for everybody myself. Pity of me, wasn't it? But them two men just stood there and they were froze. They were isolated. They're isolated. There's no power going through. See? I don't know why. Don't ask me why. Couldn't do now. But when I came over to the man, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Why? I could have spoke to him. I could have done no good. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. You know what it said? "Stand up to your feet. Jesus Christ makes you well."
Amen.
Amen.
Stand up to your feet.
Amen.
"Jesus Christ makes you well." He stood up to his feet, and before he got off the chairs, the demons had left him.
Amen.
They were gone.
Right.
They were gone. And he threw his arms around me, and when he threw his arms around me, I said, "You're the boy that was in the dream." For he was a changed man then.
Amen.
What changed him? John McKinsey couldn't change him. John McKinsey couldn't manufacture the power to change him, but I could only be the vessel
Amen.
That the Lord used
Glory.
To get to him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Why am I telling you that? Yeah. I'm telling you not to put the hunger on you.
Amen.
I tell you now, if you don't have the hunger for it, it'll not happen. But if you've got the hunger for it, God can use you.
Yeah.
Learn the power of God. Learn the power of God. You know, I know God sent a prophet. Brother Branham was a prophet sent from God. He heard from God. I tell you, he saw with open vision. Now, when you see with open vision, it's easy to have faith. But God wants you to have faith no matter why you see with open vision or not. Look at Smith Wigglesworth. Look at Reinhard Bonnke. Look at all them great men of God. What about Smith's Wigglesworth sending them on to buy a pair of shoes and only had a pair of stumps?
That's right.
He said, what size would you want? He said, I think I'd want a pair of size 9. Can you imagine it? Why? That's not the pair of Smith's Wigglesworth. That's the pair of God.
That's right. Yeah.
That pair is available.
Amen.
Yeah. Not exhausted.
Amen.
Nope.
Still available.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry if I'm boastful. Sorry if I'm boastful to you. You know, a man come to me and he says, John, the Elam Church is no longer what it used to be. Now, God brought me out of that. I believe God brought me out of it. But God never asked me to leave the power.
Amen.
He never said the power would leave me.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
You know, one of the last meetings that I was in the Elam Church, I come in and I sat down at the front, and I'm sitting where you, Brother Yule, sitting there. And there was more space. In that right-hand corner, I watched it up at the ceiling. No, I was watching it. Do you know what I was watching for? I was watching for the pillar of fire to come in the room. And I got it in my head, he would come in at the right-hand corner. But it didn't happen. But I'm not saying God wasn't there, but there wasn't a visible manifestation of him. You know, some people talk about the presence. There's people talking about the presence, never was in the presence. Never. The presence of God's an experience.
Amen.
The power of God is an experience. Mm-hmm. We need it. Mm-hmm. It's not beyond your reach.
Nope. Amen.
It's not, you're not living outside the means that God has given. God has the means to give it to you,
yes,
if you want it.
Yeah.
I believe he will. I've spent my time, I'm sorry. Maybe we'll just pray and then I'm going to go and sit down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you again, Lord, this day. Lord, you're not the author of confusion.
Amen.
But, Lord, we realize we're a needy people. And, Lord, no matter how many times we have met you and you have met with us, we still need to meet you afresh. And, Lord, give us that same power, I pray, that the disciples have.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I think of Peter and John went up to pray and they met a lame man on the way. Lord, he held out his hands and asked for alms. And this is what Peter did say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Yeah. And Lord, he took him by the hand and the Bible says, he leaping up stood. And he went walking and leaping and praising
Amen.
God. Lord, I thank you that the disciples knowed that they had met with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that every person in this room who's hungering and everyone who's thirsting, that you'll fill them to full and overflowing
Amen.
With the Holy Ghost and power.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Lord, let your people be encouraged.
Amen.
And let nobody be discouraged.
Oh.
But Lord, may the people be able to build upon what has been spoken.
Amen.
Lord, may it not dismantle, but may it build up.
Hallelujah.
And may it edify your people.
Yes.
And most of all, Lord, give power unto your people, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
That old-time Pentecostal power.
Yes. Amen.
And Lord, may it come upon us that we will experience it.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, it was said of you that you had the Holy Ghost without measure.
Right.
I pray, Lord, you'll give us a little more in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That your name will be glorified, and Lord, that we would witness and testify unto you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.